Happy Christmas from Radio Arian. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas. You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.
This is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm glad to be here today. I just wanted to start off the show by thanking. I got some comments sent directly to me and others on the show yesterday of folks that really enjoyed our discussion, and I think it's such an important thing for us to be able to talk about real issues, and I really, really appreciate the support. If I sound a little chilly or sound a little off this morning, it's about 12 degrees right now, and I think my heater got overwhelmed or something. I've got to do some work on it and have one of my party comrades that actually works in HVAC who's gonna come help me because my heater is not working. So I'm fine. Everyone's fine here. I appreciate all the support. And another example of community building, of all of us working together. This is what it's all about. So I just really appreciate everything, guys. It's a really, really special time to know that we've got such a dedicated, loving, and compassionate extended family where nationalists are all in this together. And that actually brings us to the first topic of discussion. Sven Longshanks is joining me today, and he has two messages from our comrades in the United Kingdom that it's some very powerful stuff. So, Sven, first of all, how you're doing, and what messages are we going to be hearing today?
Yeah, I'm okay, Matt. It seems we go from one extreme to another. I remember there in the summer, you guys were dripping sweat all over the keyboards where you were having to switch the fans off to do the podcast because otherwise there was all this noise in the background. And now you're sitting there shivering away because the heating doesn't work. So sort of from one extreme to the other.
Exactly. But anyway,
yeah, you know, we'll struggle through it. You know, I had problems myself with radiators the other week. But at least we're white people. We have the technology to create central heating, something which the other races never really sort of came across. Really, the same as they never discovered water piping and plumbing and ways to get rid of sewage. They never really sorted out central heating either. They're both things that white people excel at. But what I wanted to really talk about today, I've got two messages, one from Lawrence Burns and one from Ben Raymond. From Lawrence Burns, we did a podcast with him earlier this week. He's been taken to court and charged with inciting racial hatred for a private conversation on Facebook. Nobody could have seen this conversation. You had to be invited in order to see it. And the police basically broke into his Facebook and then wrote down what they saw on there and used that as the transcript in the court to say that he was inciting racial hatred. He also gave a speech at a David Lane demonstration. And there was nothing inciting racial hatred in that speech at all. He doesn't use any racial slurs. He's just talking about how in the animal world, the fox looks after the fox, the chicken looks after the chicken. And it's the same in the world of human beings. We should be looking out for our people, not looking out for others. So that was all that he said. And that was enough for the police to arrest him and charge him with inciting racial hatred and tell him that he would be looking at could be looking at 7 years inside. So he went to court. He addressed the court. He spent 6 hours addressing the court, explaining that no, he doesn't hate the other races. He just wants people to stand up for our own race. He pointed out that in multicultural areas, white people flee the multicultural areas because they want to live with their own. Birds of a feather flock together. All sensible stuff. He hasn't been charged with any violent crime or preparing any violent crime. Nothing like that. And the jury went to deliberate on Monday, and we thought, you know, this could be quite positive because they'd spent a day deliberating, which means that they did have doubts. But he's got back to me today with a message, and this is what he sent to me via Skype. Guilty on both charges, unanimous, and they are going to throw the book at me. They said they are going to set a precedent and give me longer than Shepherd and Whittle. Now, Simon Shepherd, he was the one that went to America to claim asylum, free speech asylum, and I believe they held him for a year and then sent him back to Britain, where they then put him in prison for three or four years, I think it was. And this was just for publishing Tales of the Hollow Hoax, a comic. And somebody posted that comic to a rabbi, and the rabbi made a big fuss about it, and he got 4 years for that. So that's what he means by saying that the judges have said that they are going to set a precedent and give him longer than Shepherd and Whittle. And he continues, they are sentencing me tomorrow. It is exactly what I expected. They convicted me for my views and nothing else. They didn't even need evidence. All they have to do is get us dissidents in front of a jury, tell them our, quote, racist views, and the jury will convict them. So they are now jailing us for our views, without us even committing crimes. If they cannot get us to break the law, then they will break the law to get us. My advice for anyone on trial for inciting racial hatred is to get as much publicity as possible, never plead guilty, and expose these corrupt bastards. And that's the end of the message from him. This is what they're doing now, Matt. You know, that they had no evidence to show that he was inciting racial hatred. So what they did was tell the court that he was a racist, he was a neo-Nazi, so he deserves to be in jail anyway. And this seems to be the tactics that they're using now. They seem to have given up on actually using the law, and they're just smearing people. They're pointing at us and saying, he's a heretic, so he should go to jail. And the juries are so stupid, they're so dumbed down, and they don't understand the law, that they're just being emotional and saying, well, jail him then, because he's a racist. They're thinking emotionally rather than logically, which, as we know, is a feminist trait, is thinking emotionally. And of course, we live in a feminized society. So you've got that added to it as well. Even if you've got men on the jury, they are likely to be feminized men that think emotionally rather than logically. Before I move on to Ben Raymond's comment, Matt, I don't know if you'd like to say something about what Lawrence Burns had to say there.
Well, I think it's such a powerful thing, and we need to realize that things are they're getting rough, and you know, I always try and keep things positive, but it's something, you know, Dr. Johnson and I have talked about, you and I have talked about, and we've talked about with a lot of different guests, that we are winning, we are pushing forward, people are rallying to the cause of nationalism, to faith and family and folk, but we are also facing off against an evil enemy, that the international Jewish system is truly evil. It is truly this satanic power that has governed the world for decades now, and has been rotting like a cancer for centuries within our lands, is something that they are not going to go quietly into the night. And they know we're winning, that it was very easy for them to ignore us and to allow the media to lie and try to manipulate. But now that we're gaining strength with so many people, as we're winning elections, as things are moving towards destroying this global system, as you're seeing, whether it's in Syria with Bashar al-Assad retaking Aleppo, and this most recent globalist incursion in the Middle East has failed, as we see with the rise of nationalism here, this is their end. It really is. Times are changing towards the positive, towards nationalism, but they're not going to go quietly. And I think this is a great example of where, for freedom of speech, that we are going to have more men behind the wire than ever before. And it's not for people breaking the law. It's not for people hurting anyone. It's people for challenging, for daring, you know, against the system, to have the courage, the testicular fortitude, the dedication to the fact that they love their people and want a future for their people. They're going to be sentenced for thought crimes. We're truly entering this Orwellian world. So I would say, you know, solidarity with him. And we need to build as a movement a strong infrastructure to support our men behind the wire, because they are willing to sacrifice. And Sven, I think both of us know that there could easily come a time with the way things are going in the UK and, you know, in America, that even President Trump might, you know, with all the things he's doing against the other groups, the radical Islamist groups and stuff, they might go after white nationalists as well, just to, you know, avoid being called racist, because that's what conservatives do. So we all could find ourselves in that same situation. And it's scary on one hand, but I would always encourage everyone to remember, you know, Stonewall Jackson, the great Confederate general, you know, was asked how he could be so brave. And he said that, you know, his faith told him that he should feel as safe in battle as he does in bed, because the Lord knows his time to die. And if every man had that faith, he would be equally as brave. And, you know, it's not talking about dying all the times, but that could happen. But to understand the sacrifices, this is not a hobby. This is not a game. This is a war against an evil system that is truly trying to eradicate us. That beyond the talking points and the buzzwords, which are important, we need to remember that this is a system that hates us and wants to try and silence us by any means necessary. So I think we as a movement need to do a much better job of supporting our men who have been arrested, who are in jail, and to realize that it could come for all of us. But that should encourage us, because if they are willing to take that much time and to delegitimize their system, delegitimize their so-called rule of law, that just shows that we're making ground. So be encouraged and be brave. And this is a good time to remember to come together and, you know, solidarity with our comrade. And he'll be in my prayers, and I'll be sure to be writing him letters. And we need to be appealing and protesting these unjust decisions, because this is not law and order. These are kangaroo courts. This is like a Soviet show trial. Where they've already decided the verdict before anyone gets there, before there's any evidence. So we need to be protesting against this, supporting our men behind the wire, and remembering that this is serious business.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Matt. It's something that you've spoken about quite a lot with Dr. Johnson on here about the wounded animal that lashes out. It's like the rat that's been backed into a corner that launches itself at the human being in one last desperate bid to get away, you know. And what we're seeing here is we're seeing the regime breaking its own laws and being quite blatant about that, and just relying on emotion to try and silence us. And they can't put all of us in prison. And sooner or later, the idealists on the left, because there are idealists on the left, they are going to start supporting us for this, because this is a free speech issue, and people should be allowed to voice their opinions. No matter how repugnant other people find those opinions, you should be able to voice them. So long as you're not advocating for violence, you're not calling for violence, you should be able to say whatever you like. And if you don't like what you hear, you just walk away. And nobody was forcing anybody to listen to Lawrence Burns. This was a private conversation between him and his friends on Facebook with the account set to private. Nobody else could see that. Nobody else would have seen that if the police hadn't hacked into his account. So, you know, that just tells you that's got to be breaking the law to hack into somebody's private writings and then say, well, we don't like his opinion. It's different to our opinion. So we're going to prosecute you and say you are inciting racial hatred because you don't like Negroes. I mean, this is the stupidity of all of this. Do they really think that by doing things like this, it's going to make us love Negroes, or it's going to make us love Jews, locking people up for not liking them? It's absolutely ridiculous. And again, that brings us to the comment that we have from Ben Raymond here. And just as you were saying there, it was a show trial. I mean, National Action didn't even get a trial. I mean, Ben Raymond was never asked to speak to government. He was never asked to account for the actions of National Action or to explain what was going on. None of that. We just had a screaming and screeching Home Secretary that was really spitting feathers. And when asked to provide evidence for why National Action were being added to the list of terrorist groups, all she could say was, well, they're bigots, racists, anti-Semites, and they're homophobic. And that was it. She couldn't actually come out with any crimes that National Action supposedly committed. And from Ben's comment, it looks like they actually used the crimes of the left and then blamed them on National Action. But I'll read out his comment here. This was this is dated today. This was just an hour or so before we went on air that Ben sent me this. And he says, on the 13th of December, a group known as National Action was unilaterally disbanded. I now speak only for myself, but I can inform you of the steps that have been taken in wake of this tragic decision. Although legislation only covers promotion of the group, extensive steps have been taken to totally demobilize. I am very protective of my fellow National Socialists here in the UK, some of whom are quite young, and to me their safety is paramount. We cannot defend our homes, families and people from a jail cell. The whole eyes of the world are on us ex-NA men, wanting to know what is next. And they must be in no doubt that the organisational and leadership structure has been dismantled, as this can never be allowed to happen again. This awful event was an enormous shock to all of us. This crackdown is unprecedented in any Western nation. All that had been done to build up the brand, the art, the meetings, the stunts, swatted away in a day by an insignificant number of kvetching Jews and weak-minded signalling politicians. Personally, as an artist, to have all my artwork labelled terrorism has been perhaps the hardest pill to swallow. The debates have been a total charade, consisting of wow, just wow. The entire narrative is a complete tissue of lies. National Action was a peaceful protest group. All of the allegations are lies, sourced from invention and context denial, that in no way reflected the positions and values of the group. This week we stood accused for every act of violence and public disorder that was inflicted upon us. Blatant satire of our opposition was all the evidence needed to legally equate us with Islamic State, although we don't get a so-called in front of our name. We held a mirror up to society and they struck us out for making them look ugly. The enemies of our people believed that they could use the power of the state to narrow the Overton window, moving it back towards the left when things were moving to the right. Just days away from being declared an enemy of the state, I have seen not a single man or woman flinch. I am so inspired by this bravery and dedication that I know we will overcome this hardship with nothing but the strength of our hearts. The enemy used to mock the phrase, only bullets can stop us, because they cannot comprehend what it is like to hold a sincere belief. They are the very cattle that their masters claim they are. We National Socialists are much smarter than all those who punch right ever gave us credit for. To quote a man that I hate, now this is not the end, it is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. Trust me, fam, 2017 is going to be an interesting year on Cuck Island. This train has no brakes. Choo-choo. My deepest gratitude goes out to Matthew Heimbach and Sven Longshanks at Radio Aryan. I really appreciate the support that you and so many others have given me over the past year and especially this week. Also, a shout out to Andrew Anglin and Zyger at Daily Stormer and all the guys at TRS and Iron March. And that was from Ben Raymond. And that's his statement on what's been happening this week. And I think you can see there that no evidence was actually provided that they were preparing terrorist acts. What they did was show the acts of the left, which included digging up flagstones, digging up cobblestones and throwing them at the police. Included a policeman being hospitalised, I think he was, from projectiles that were being thrown at him. Windows smashed. A whole train station having to be shut down because of the left. And National Action themselves, none of them have ever been charged with any violent crime whatsoever. They had to use self-defense once at one of the protests, and you can see that. But that's all. And somehow the government have been able to get away with this. They've been able to get away with saying that these guys are terrorists. And the only reason evidence that they've given for that is that they don't like them. They've said that they're National Socialists, they're homophobic, they're racist. And it just seems that is all that is needed now for the government to not just lock people up, but actually to get people described as being terrorists. This is a real shock, Matt. And I can really, you know, I really feel for Ben and Alex and the National Action guys, because they put so much work into this. You know, Ben's talking about how his art has now been described as terrorism. Because a lot of that, you know, that was art. They were involved in graffitis, art installations that may have been on in Jewish areas. The music, that there was a band that produced music for them. You know, they were very positive. They brought young people to these camps that they were holding, where they would teach them about British history, British culture, teach them what it means to be British, teach them what it means to be a man, you know, and they would bond and they would be able to rely on one another. Of course, they had that National Socialist ideal of constantly trying to improve yourself and always trying to make yourself better and looking out for everybody else. And they were involved in this charity work, going out and helping the homeless, for which they were terribly attacked for in the media, constantly smeared, calling them the soup kitchen of hate and these dreadful racists. How dare they go out and look after white homeless? But of course, the Muslims have got charities that do that. The lesbian and gays have got charities that do that. And white people don't have any charities that do that. Whenever white people stand up and speak for us, we get attacked like this. And again, he points out in that comment that the propaganda that they put out, which was obviously satirical, and it was in response to the left's propaganda, which of course is always talking about good night, right side, and how we're going to attack the right. I mean, Richard Spencer this week quoted a T-shirt saying, "Beat the hell out of hate." So the left comes out with all these violent, all this violent propaganda against us, and National Action responded to that violent propaganda in the same way, expecting to be treated in the same way as you would be in a just society. And of course they weren't. They would take the propaganda literally. They would take jokes literally, not understanding the satirical side of it, not understanding irony, of course. It's just very, very sad. And I really do feel for these guys that put so much effort and work into doing this. They took so many risks. And of course, what they were advocating for, none of it was possible if they weren't actually in control of the government. And it was all legal, you know. They wanted to death the traitors, but only after a trial, and they'd been found guilty. And once the death penalty had been reinstated, which is something that the majority of the British population want, they've all called, you know, the every time they do a poll, people say we would like to see the return of capital punishment. So what they were advocating for, they could only do once they were in government, and they didn't even have a political wing. That was to be something that could have been a decade away. It was something to be worked towards. It was all about building a movement first, and then building the political group. So it's just tragic all round, to be honest. I have suggested that they've got a fairly large group of friends there. I suggest that they go and join the British Movement, which is a national socialist organisation that could really do with some young people involved, with the vigour that youth has. That could be just what British Movement needs. So that would be my suggestion for National Action that are wondering where they can go now. And obviously, we should probably stop using the word National Action. I think it's from Friday onwards, I believe the law is that you mustn't glorify them or anything like that. So we'll have to try and stop mentioning the name of the group here. But that is what I would advise the group of friends, because that's all it was, a large group of friends that was growing, is get in touch with British Movement, because you're not going to get... you're not going to be able to contact the leadership. As Ben says there, the leadership has been totally demobilised. It's all completely taken apart. But if people want to act in their own individual capacity, go join the British Movement. I'll pass that back over to you, Matt.
Well, exactly. And Sven, you know, I just want to say to Ben and to all the other National Action guys that I know, that I consider friends of mine and comrades, you know, we're fighting the same enemy on the same barricades, and being nationalists in the Anglosphere, we have a very strong connection with one another. We have a strong shared history. We have a strong shared future. The Anglosphere is really, you know, of course, we're all Europeans, but we do have something unique. You know, we're a little bit closer than with the rest of Europe. And of course, I love all my European comrades, but this hits me hard, because I've seen the hard work and the sacrifices. And I've been there. You know, I've fought on the streets and bled on the streets and done street protests. And I know it's not glorious work. You know, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you jobs. It's going to cost you your own physical safety. It's going to cost you sleep at night. But you do this because you love your people and you love your family. And that's what the men and women involved in National Action were all supporting. You know, was supporting a future, you know, for a free white Britain. And, you know, I want to stand in solidarity with them and say that, they're heroes and really they're martyrs. And in the Orthodox context, we would say, in many ways, they're passion bearers, because if you stand for the truth and are persecuted for the truth, for what is righteous, then you're a passion bearer. And we need to remember that these comrades of ours are, you know, our friends, and we're in this struggle together. And, you know, much respect to them. And I'm going to look forward to seeing what they do from here, because there's so many amazing folks that are involved in it. The British Nationalist Movement offers a great opportunity now to be able to maybe come together, see that the petty divisions of the movement, same here in the United States, petty divisions only strengthen the enemy, and the enemy is attacking all of us. So we need to stand together. And I actually want to bring this, we're in the last little part of our show, but I want to talk about something that just happened here in the United States. I think it's kind of similar. So from ABC News, and just read through the buzzwords, ladies and gentlemen. White supremacist gang members are facing eviction from homes where they are alleged to have sold guns and drugs. Lawsuits targeting members of the San Fernando Valley Peckerwoods seek injunctions preventing gang members from being at two homes where they based operations that are near schools and libraries, City Attorney Mike Fayer said. We're fighting to prevent white supremacist gangs from threatening our neighborhoods with their toxic brew of violence, crime, and hate. The lawsuits don't address specific hate crimes, but photos displayed at a press conference show a Confederate flag and swastikas on walls. And this demonstrated, in quote, tremendous potential for extremely bad acts to take place. And this is a very interesting thing, I think. Of course, you read all the buzzwords, white supremacist, gang members, and I've been to California. I've seen it. What's the definition of many gangs is white youth that come together and white working class people, that the police don't protect their neighborhoods, they don't protect their families, and you have to come together in some form of self-defense and societal cohesion. And they use all these buzzwords, and they're admitting, so they're alleging a specific individual who might have been living in a home might have committed a crime. All right, good. I'm 100% about legality. If the guy broke the law, send that guy to jail. But the idea of evicting anyone who might be associated with an organization that's white nationalist, because, as this quote said, there's tremendous potential for extremely bad acts to take place. It's no specific hate crimes, no allegations, no terrorist plots, or anything like that. It's this idea, of course, if we went into the urban centers of America and black communities, the idea that if there was a member of the Crips who broke the law, or the Bloods, or another group, MS-13, and he got arrested and was sent to jail, that you evict every member of an organization. And white nationalist groups that they call gangs are far different than criminal enterprises, like we see with groups like MS-13 that are an international gang that traffic in tons, literal tons, of heroin and cocaine and things like that, that cut people's heads off. Entirely different category, but of course they use the same words. The idea of the police trying to evict people who would associate with a certain group, there would be riots in the streets. But I think this is important. The reason I bring this up, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Sven, is we need to remember, some of our listeners might not agree with everything, say, National Action did, or everything that every group did. I don't know anything about this this group out in California, for instance. But what I do know, and first of all, I love National Action, but what I do know is that the system is starting this crackdown. And they talk, Dr. Pierce talked about it in his writings, in Hunter, also in the Turner Diaries and other writings and stuff like that, where they examine how the repressive measures start against the white nationalist community. They start picking on the groups. They think the lawyers won't come and support, the public won't rally around, and the movement won't back. The movement won't stand in solidarity with. And then they create a legal precedent for this. So we're talking about, how many people have lost their jobs? How many people are going to prison for tweets or for private conversations? How many people are being made homeless now? Being made homeless, or in the case of National Action, declared terrorists because they're white nationalists and because they reject the internationalist system. So I think this is a very dangerous precedent. Sven, I want to know your thoughts as we come to the end here on this, because I really think they are laying this legal groundwork, these precedents, to crack down on all of us. And this is the time for us to come together, because we need to stand together, because the system views us in the same lens. Remember, Donald Trump's Hitler, George W. Bush is Hitler, Mitt Romney was Hitler. Everyone that opposes the homosexual movement is a homophobe. Everyone that opposes the Zionist influence is an anti-Semite. They view us all the same. They hate us all the same. And we need to stand together and support one another, because eventually they're going to come to your door.
Well, yeah, Matt, I mean, this is just it. People may not agree with National Action. You may have people in UKIP, people in Britain First, people in the British National Party may think, oh, National Action were too extreme. But now that they've set this precedent, if nobody stands up and says this is wrong, then, the next people they could be going after is Britain First. In fact, it has been suggested that Britain First be put on this terrorist group list. Now that they've been able to get away with doing national action, they could move to Britain First. Once they've done Britain First, they could go to the BNP. After the BNP, they could go to UKIP. So it is very alarming. It does highlight the fact that on the right, we should all support people that are on the right. You know, none of this punching to the right. You know, you can have a friendly, elderly, brotherly nudge saying you should be moving more to the right. But when it comes to situations like this, we should be supporting our brothers. I would very much like to have seen members of UKIP standing up for national action. You know, obviously they may not agree with some of national action's policies or ideals, but the very fact that they were standing up against globalism and supporting the pulling out of the EU, and they're on the right side of the spectrum, means that they should be supported. And the other alarming thing about that news report that you brought up, Matt, which is the same as in Britain, is that they're saying that these guys are criminals and should be evicted because he's got a Confederate flag. You know, they've got no evidence. All they're saying is he's got a Confederate flag. It's the same with Lawrence Burns. They've got no evidence. All they're saying is, well, he doesn't like Negroes. We've got a Facebook conversation where he says he doesn't like Negroes. So therefore, you can convict him of whatever you like because he doesn't like minorities. So this is the situation, and we need to be supporting each other. And I know there probably aren't many listeners to Radio Aryan that are from UKIP, but you know, we would like to reach out to all these nationalist groups, and if you know people that are in UKIP or these less far right groups, the softer right, then tell them about this and say, look, they're going to come for you next. If they're allowed to get away with this, they will come for you next. They'll you know, there's already been an article that Jez Turner wrote, satirical article, now they're banning UKIP. You know, this is what will happen if we don't support one another. So I'm right behind you with that solidarity message, Matt.
Well, you know, it's such a great thing to be able to hear. And Sven, you know, it's always great to be able to get your insight. And brothers and sisters, just remember this, you know, as my quick final thought for the day. We need to stand together because, you know, remember, the same names they called National Action, they also have been calling Nigel Farage for years, as Sven stuff was talking about. They are coming after all of us. It's time to act like a family. It's time to be a true movement where we're united together. And if we do that, and we will do that, that is how we're going to win. So victory is going to be ours. We're going to march forward. The truth shall triumph in this struggle. And it's time for solidarity with our comrades that are under attack, solidarity within our movement, and we're going to push forward to victory. So Sven, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be here tomorrow with Dr. Johnson. Going to look forward to being here to close out the week. Have a great rest of your day, and hail victory.
Tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioAryan.com.